أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahullahu Ta'ala bin Nasrihi Al-Aziz, recited verse 93 of Surah Al-Imran and stated that the translation of the verse is as follows, that never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love, and whatever you spend, Allah surely knows it well. The word birr refers to an excellent and perfect act of virtue. And just as Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran, that you cannot attain perfect virtue unless you sacrifice and spend out of your valued possessions for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Thus, a true believer is one who continues to strive to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and continues to acquire those standards of virtue which bring him nearer to Allah the Almighty. In the Holy Quran, we have been exhorted to gain the nearness of Allah the Almighty on numerous occasions and in various manners. Various acts of virtues have been set out, and to spend one's wealth in the cause of Allah the Almighty has also been regarded as an act of virtue. In this verse as well, spending in the cause of Allah the Almighty has been regarded as a significant act of virtue. Allah the Almighty states that when you spend out of the wealth you love or your valued possessions in the cause of Allah the Almighty, it will then be considered a great virtue. There is no doubt that Allah the Almighty rewards every virtuous deed that is performed to acquire His pleasure. However, since a person has love for wealth, thus special attention has been drawn towards this. Hence, Allah the Almighty has regarded this as one of the highest standards of faith and true virtue and sacrifice, that is, to sacrifice that which you most love. Just as Allah the Almighty has stated that true virtue is that which you spend out of the things that you love the most in the cause of Allah the Almighty and sacrifice it for the sake of attaining His pleasure. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has elaborated on this on many occasions. In one instance, he writes that you should not love wealth. Now this is very difficult, especially in the current era. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, you should not love wealth. For Allah the Almighty states, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That is, never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. If we were to compare the circumstances nowadays with those of the time of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then we pity the current circumstances. because there is nothing dearer than one's life. And at that time, that is, during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, one had to sacrifice his life in the cause of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that just like you, they too had wives and children, and everyone holds their life dear. However, they remained ever eager to find an opportunity to make sacrifices in the cause of Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, no one can claim to have performed a virtuous deed by spending something worthless and useless. The door to piety is a narrow one. So remember that no one can enter it by spending useless and worthless things. The clear injunction of the Quran is, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Until you spend the things which you love and are most dear to you, you cannot attain the stage of being the beloved of God. If you are not ready to bear suffering and to acquire true piety, then how can you expect to succeed? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, continues, did the companions attain this rank without doing anything? Just look at how even to attain a worldly position, one has to exhaust their resources and they have to toil. And even then, this repute of an ordinary level does not even give true peace and satisfaction. And so, how is it possible for the title of radiyallahu anhum, that is, may Allah be pleased with them, which grants true peace and contentment and is a sign of God's pleasure, be acquired with such ease? The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, the truth is that it is not possible to gain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, which is a source of true happiness, until one does not bear temporary hardships in his way. He further states that Allah cannot be deceived, and fortunate are those who care not for pain in order to attain his pleasure. For it is only after temporary suffering that the believer is granted the light of eternal joy and everlasting comfort. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, in the world we see that people have an immense love for wealth. This is why it is written in the books on the science of the interpretation of dreams that if someone sees in a dream that they have taken out their liver and given it to someone, then this implies wealth. This is why, in order to attain true righteousness and faith, Allah the Almighty states, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That is, never shall you attain to true righteousness unless you spend what you most love. Because sympathy and good treatment towards the creation of God depends to a large extent on the spending of wealth. And sympathy towards humanity, i.e. to one's own people, and God's creation at large, is the second aspect of faith, without which one's faith cannot be complete and firm. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, states that until a person sacrifices for others, how can they give them benefit? Thus, one must sacrifice in order to be of benefit to others. Sacrifice is necessary in benefiting others and showing them sympathy. It is this very teaching of sacrifice which has been given in the following verse, the لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Never shall you attain to true righteousness unless you spend what you most love. Therefore, spending wealth in the cause of Allah the Almighty is also a criterion and touchstone by which to judge the good nature and righteousness of an individual. In the case of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the extent and level to which his life was devoted to God was that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, expressed a need, and he came with everything that he owned. He brought all of his possessions from his home. Then, whilst imparting advice, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, do not harbour love for wealth. Allah the Almighty states, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That is to say, never shall you attain to righteousness, i.e. true and perfect righteousness, unless you spend what you most love. And as I mentioned earlier, that the word birr is that piety which is of the highest order and perfect. Hence, this is the intricate point that the members of the Ahmadiyya community have truly understood today. And it is through the effect of this training of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam that we continue to witness this standard of sacrifice to this day. This is the standard which the companions established, and then it was established in the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam by those who resided close to him and by his companions. And then during every era of Khilafat, we have continued to witness sacrifices, and we still witness these sacrifices today. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, laid great emphasis on financial sacrifice. And his companions understood this and acted fully upon it. In one narration, it is mentioned that Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud narrated that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that envy is permitted only in two cases. An individual whom Allah the Almighty gives wealth and he spends it in the way of faith, and on an individual to whom Allah the Almighty gives understanding, sagacity, knowledge and wisdom, with the help of which he decides between people and teaches them. Hence, it was to establish this standard that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advised his companions, and indeed, it was established by them. It is mentioned in one narration of Hazrat Abu Mas'ud Ansari, that whenever the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would instruct us to give charity, some of us would go to the market or do some labor work and earn an income of one mud of grain. Mud is a unit of measurement equivalent to a few kilograms. And he says that whatever they would earn, they would give it in charity. Their desire was to participate in the scheme which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed, and to partake in it with whatever they earned. It was not the case that they would ask from someone and then take part in it. Rather, they would work hard and earn money in order to participate in it. The narrator states that the state of some of them in their sacrifice was such that Allah the Almighty rewarded them, whereby they then had hundreds of thousands of dirhams. They would do laborious tasks to give to charity, and then came into possession of hundreds of thousands. These are the blessings of sacrifice. And this is the intricate point that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advised us to adopt. This is what Allah the Almighty admonishes us to do in the Holy Quran. That is, spend in the way of Allah out of that which is dear to you. It is also mentioned in the narrations that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would encourage the companions to give charity. And the companions would bring whatever they had in their homes and form piles of various items before him. Hence, for the requirements of the community, chanda, wealth and various items are required. And communities of the prophets have always understood this and made whatever sacrifices were within their means. In relation to the immense blessings there are in financial sacrifice, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advised his sister-in-law, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, in one instance, that do not keep count while spending in the way of Allah. Otherwise, Allah will also give back whilst keeping count. And do not keep your purses tightly closed and sit with miserliness. Otherwise, they will be kept closed. He stated that one should spend openly within their capacity and trust in Allah, and he too will continue to reward. On another occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, as related by Hazrat Abu Hurairah, that every morning two angels come down from heaven, and one of them says that, O Allah, grant even more to the generous person who spends in your way, and bring about those who follow in their footsteps. And the other angel says that, O Allah, destroy the one who is miserly, and his wealth and possessions. In any case, today it is the Ahmadis who understand this point. There are countless examples, and the history of Ahmadiyyat is replete with them. And this increases with each passing day as to the importance of one who gives generously in the way of Allah the Almighty. A person wrote that I had only a small amount of money with which I was going to do some business. He says that I had to buy some important things, and my circumstances were quite difficult, and I didn't know whether it was possible to conduct this business or not. He says that my father told me that I should give however much money I have in chanda and sacrifice it in the way of Allah the Almighty. Thus, I gave it in chanda, and Allah the Almighty bestowed provisions in such a manner that I received an order which granted me an amount many times more than what I previously had. Then I began to conduct business, and Allah the Almighty put so many blessings in it that I began to receive countless amounts of wealth. Thus, even in this age, Allah the Almighty continues to show such signs to those who have accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and are his true servants, in order to increase them in their faith. On numerous occasions, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, laid great emphasis on making financial sacrifices. Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated in a hadith al-Qudsi, meaning he heard from Allah the Almighty, and thus stated that Allah the Almighty states that, O son of Adam, deposit your treasures with me and be at peace. Neither is there fear of fire touching you, nor is there danger of drowning in the water, or fear of a thief stealing. I will grant you the entire treasure entrusted to me on the day you will require it most. In other words, this refers to the life after one dies, when man has no knowledge of how he will be treated, nor does he know of his good deeds. At that time, Allah the Almighty says that I will grant you the reward of your sacrifices, and through this you will receive the means of forgiveness. Thus, this is the deal, as it were, that Allah the Almighty makes with a believer. In one place, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that I truly believe that miserliness and faith cannot coexist in the same heart. A person who wholeheartedly believes in God Almighty does not consider their wealth to be confined to what is locked in their money chest, but rather considers all of God Almighty's treasures as their own. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, miserliness departs from them, meaning stinginess departs from him, just as darkness is dispelled by light. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, members ought to serve the Jamaat in every possible way. There should also be no neglect in fulfilling financial obligations. Reflect, no movement in this world can proceed without financial contributions. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Prophet Moses alayhi salam, and Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, in all their times funds were collected. Therefore, members of our Jamaat must also remember this. Even if people were to regularly give just one paisa throughout the year, much can be accomplished. In relation to this, look at the great example of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and how he answered the call of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and made sacrifices in order to help fulfill his mission. The promised Messiah alayhi salam wrote regarding Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First that had I allowed it, he would have sacrificed everything he owned in this path, and just like he has fulfilled the rights of his spiritual companionship, he would have fulfilled the due rights of the physical duties of companionship and would always remain in my company. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then wrote that I should share some lines of his letters as proof. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First writes to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that I am sacrificed in your cause, and whatever I have is not mine, but it is yours. Your holiness and my spiritual guide, I submit humbly with absolute honesty that if my entire wealth and property were consumed in religious propagation, then I will have achieved my ultimate end. If the buyers of Barahin Ahmadiyya are agitated over the delay in the publishing of the book, meaning if there is a problem with publishing it due to a shortage of buyers or because they do not pay the amount, then please allow me to render this insignificant service of paying the entire amount and to also refund them their money from myself and to also give you any income from it. And he said this with great anguish to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, that this would be an honor for him. And in fact, he stated that it is my desire to bear all the printing costs of Barahin Ahmadiyya. Thus, this was the standard of sacrifice of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiyallahu ta'ala anhu established the Waqf-e Jadid and Tehreek-e Jadid schemes, at that time, countless poor people came forward and began offering small amounts of money as chanda. Some of them brought chickens, while others brought the eggs of chicken. And they would say that we have sacrificed whatever we had. At that time, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst mentioning the examples of the sacrifice of these poor people, he would also give the examples of some of the earlier members of the Jamaat. In relation to this, he presented the example of Hazrat Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the father of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II's first wife, Hazrat Nasir radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Similarly, he was the grandfather of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III, rahimahullah. Hazrat Muslim Maud writes that when Hazrat Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib heard of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's claim from a friend, he immediately remarked that the claimant of such a grand claim cannot be a liar. In other words, he did not require any further evidence. This claim was so grand that he did not require any other proof and accepted that he was indeed the promised Messiah. And he swiftly took the pledge of allegiance from the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has included his name among his 12 disciples. And his financial contributions were so great that the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam gave him a certification in writing. And he had written that you offered so much financial sacrifice for this movement that you do not need to sacrifice anything from now on. Nonetheless, he kept offering financial sacrifices, but the promised Messiah alayhi salam had expressed his pleasure in this manner. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes that I remember the era of the promised Messiah alayhi salam when a lawsuit was being filed against him in Gurdaspur for which he needed funds. The promised Messiah alayhi salam sent an appeal among the community members that the expenses were increasing. The Langar Khanna was now in Qadian and Gurdaspur. Due to the promised Messiah alayhi salam's presence in Gurdaspur, people will come to visit him there as well, and food would also be served to them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam stated that in addition to this, there are other expenses being incurred by the ongoing lawsuit. Hence, our friends should turn their attention towards making financial contributions, meaning offering financial sacrifices to meet the increasing burden. When this appeal of the promised Messiah alayhi salam reached Dr. Sahib, it so happened that on the same day he received his pay of approximately 450 rupees, which was a significant amount in those days, and he immediately sent this entire amount to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. A friend of Dr. Sahib advised that he take out some money to keep for his own household needs. But Dr. Sahib replied that if the Messiah of God writes that there is need to serve the faith, then what other thing can I possibly keep the money for? Thus, the point being that Dr. Sahib was so passionate to offer financial sacrifice for the sake of faith that the promised Messiah alayhi salam felt the need to stop him and say that now you do not need to make any more financial sacrifices. Hence, these were the shining examples shown by the companions of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, such examples are also seen in the era of every Khalifa. I will share a few more accounts from the lifetime of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Sufi Nabi Bakhsh Sahib, Muhajir Qadian, says that once I arrived to the annual convention, I Jalsa Salana, and requested that I wish to say something to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam privately. The promised Messiah alayhi salam allowed me to enter inside. And it so happened that the entrance from which I came in stayed open, and so some others followed me inside as well. I said to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that my father complains that he ensured that I receive an excellent higher education, yet I am not helping them since I have become employed. In other words, his father had a complaint that despite providing him with a good education, he was not helping them financially. He says that I said to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that my father says that I am not helping them despite him giving me a good education. And my wife also says things like, good Ahmadi you turned out to be because he has given away all of my jewelry in this cause and he gives away everything we have in Chanda. perhaps in order to fulfill the household expenses, they would sell the jewelry, or she complained that they might one day need to sell the jewelry in case of a particular need. So he stated to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that my father and wife both complain. Then he said to the promised Messiah alayhi salam that yet now that I've come here to Qadian, I see that for the sake of this mission, there are ardent devotees who sacrifice thousands of rupees in its way. So pray for me that God Almighty doubles or triples my income so that I too may be able to serve you. And so, after conveying the complaints of his family members, he went on to submit before the promised Messiah alayhi salam that when I see the shining examples of other people's sacrifices, my heart yearns to give even more than this. After this, God Almighty brought about the means by which he received a new job with a higher pay in a different country. And as a result, he was able to help with financial contributions and fulfill the needs of his family as well. Those pious souls, as a result of the spiritual effect of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in his era, which was also a time of materialism, offered many sacrifices. And today, in a time when materialism is even more rampant than before, we still see the examples of this. People continue to spend in the way of Allah the Almighty. The way that the poor used to sacrifice, we see examples of this even today. At times, the people of Africa send me their accounts. But before that, let me share some examples of those who were of meager means from the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Qazi Qamruddin Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu mentions an incident about Sai Divan Shah Sahib. He says that I used to ask him, the Sai Sahib, is there a special reason that you go to Qadian? He used to frequently visit Qadian, and because Sai Sahib would go past Qazi Sahib's village on the way, he would stay the night at his village. Qazi Sahib explains that Sai Divan Shah was a resident of Narowal and used to travel on foot to Qadian. This was a journey of many miles that he undertook from Narowal to Qadian. He further explains that even if you use a shortcut, it is still a journey of approximately 100 miles that he used to make on foot. And so he explained that I asked Sai Sahib, is there any particular reason that you are making this journey repeatedly? Or is it just so that you can go and meet the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam? Upon this, Sai Sahib responded that, look, I am a poor man. And one reason is certainly a deep desire to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the second reason is that I am poor and cannot make financial contributions of hundreds of thousands of rupees like those who are fluent. So, I go there to make the beds of guests as my contribution. Meaning that he would make the beds for free as a service instead. And in this way, to remove the guilt that I carry around as a result of not being able to contribute financially. This service of making the beds gives me consolation. And so I make the beds in the langar khana and find comfort in the fact that this is my financial contribution. Thus, such was the spirit that existed among the poor in those times. And even today, we observe how Allah the Almighty has instilled this spirit in people. People from distant countries, where Ahmadiyyat was introduced just a few years ago, have accepted Islam and joined the Ahmadiyya community. We witness remarkable displays of their eagerness to make financial sacrifices. We see in them the same passion that existed 1400 years ago, and we observe in them the same spirit which was in those people whose examples were given by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in his time. And this is the spirit that has emerged today in the Ahmadiyya community due to the rejuvenation of faith after accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. A missionary from Marshall Islands wrote that Ladri Isaac Sahiba is a devoted member who works tirelessly for the community's langar, i.e. community kitchen. She comes daily to serve and cook where meals are prepared twice a day. However, when she receives her salary Her first priority is to offer financial sacrifice on behalf of herself and her 5 grandchildren, and her contribution to Waqf-e Jadeed is the highest in the community. The missionary says, these are people whose homes appear very modest when you see them. And the blessed words of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam come to mind, that a God-fearing person can find true prosperity in a humble hut that a worldly person consumed by greed cannot find even in a magnificent palace. Similarly, there is another lady, Lorraine Sahiba, and she is also from Marshall Islands, who also works in the Langar Khanna of the Jamaat. The missionary says that when I reminded about the Waqf-e Jadeed contributions, noting that the year was ending and their contribution were less than the previous year, Lorraine Sahiba came to the office after Friday prayers and presented her Waqf-e Jadeed contribution so they could meet or exceed the previous year's target. The missionary from Kazakhstan, speaking about Ayan Ibrahim's contribution, says, that Ayan Ibrahim Sahib once told me that there was a time when I didn't have money to buy bread and I had to borrow for food and drink, and my wife worried about how we would survive. But even in those circumstances, I started paying my contributions, i.e. of chanda, and even now my principle is that whenever I receive money, I pay my chanda first. Allah the Almighty has shown such remarkable favor to me that whenever I pay my contribution towards chanda, He blesses me with better financial resources. And at times when my wife asks where this money came from, I tell her that it is all the blessings of giving contributions, i.e. towards chanda. Allah, the Almighty, doesn't keep a loan, and He says that when you spend wealth for my sake, then I will give you even more. And indeed, Allah fulfills this promise. Then, near the city of Marwa in Cameroon, there is a Jamaat of the community where a member by the name of Muhammad Yusan Sahib says that I was very poor and I used to work on people's farms, but after becoming an Ahmadi, I started giving chanda. And through the blessings of chanda, Allah the Almighty not only accepted my chanda, but Allah the Almighty blessed me so much that now I own my own farm. He then says that this gives me satisfaction that Allah the Almighty has accepted it, because He has blessed me countless times and granted me ownership of a farm, raising me from a laborer to now an owner of a farm. There is a poor Jamaat of our community in Niger, and their missionary wrote about an Ahmadi, Lawali Sahib, who cultivates tiger nuts. He relates that I had not told anyone, but I had intended in my heart to give 1/10 in chanda. However, he says that after the cultivation, there were excessive rains and crops were at risk of being destroyed as they don't need that much water. And the neighbors' crops were damaged and yielded very little. But he says that Allah the Almighty put such blessings in my crop that while others with larger lands got 5 or 6 bags of harvest, I, on the other hand, received 10 or even 11 bags from my fields. In such conditions, when crops fail, then prices also increase, and as a result, one can earn well in the market. However, he did not give in to greed, and since he had made a promise in his heart to Allah the Almighty, not telling anyone, and for Allah's sake alone, and so he was ready for sacrifice. And so, according to his promise, he gave that 11th bag, which he had intended to give to the community as chanda, he gave it, and the love of wealth did not overcome him. Thus, these are the examples of people who offer sacrifice we see in the Ahmadiyya community today, living in every country. In a Jamaat called Yorobawal in Gambia, the local president received some money which he divided into 2 parts. One part he kept for chanda, and the other for personal use. He says that unfortunately, the money for the personal use was lost, and now he only had the chanda money left, which he could have used. But despite his need, he did not use the chanda money for any personal expenses. The love of wealth did not overcome him, and he did not make any kind of excuse that since the other money was lost, he should use half of this. In fact, he said that the money he had set aside for Chanda would be paid as Chanda, and he did so. Allah the Almighty's doing was such that after some time, he found the lost money and his need was fulfilled. In such circumstances, when there is a need, surely the love of wealth increases. The people show extraordinary devotion that whatever promise they make to Allah the Almighty, they must fulfill it. Then there is another incident where the need for money and love for wealth did not overcome the spirit of sacrifice. In Niger's Marawi region, there is a Jamaat where Ahmed Sani Sahib regularly contributes every year to Waqf-e Jadid. It is said that this year, due to the floods in the region, crops were destroyed, and it was thought that people would not be able to contribute much. However, Sani Sahib had said that although excessive rains and floods had destroyed the crops, however, he would not reduce his contribution because of this. And in fact, he gave more than his previous year's contributions. Then there is another account of giving precedence to making financial contributions despite having personal needs. There is a Jamaat in Debsu in Niger, and there was little rainfall there, and it had very negative impact on the crops. We see that there are places where there is too much rain and other areas where there is not enough rain. These are natural disasters, and majority of our people and Jamaats in Africa are in the villages. Furthermore, the political situation in those countries is very bad these days. There is a great deal of inflation, and the local missionary says that in light of this, he was very worried, the people not having enough money, and he wondered how they would make financial contributions. However, when the people in the village were informed that the Waqf-e Jadid year was coming to an end, a man there by the name of Shafi Engo Sahib stood up and said, "We offer financial contributions every year, and there has never been a year in which Allah the Almighty did not give us more in return. Hence, Allah the Almighty rewards us through the blessings of financial contributions, and we are economically stable. Despite straitened circumstances, we are fine, and so we will not step back. We will offer financial contributions." And they did exactly that. Thus, this is another instance of them not being overcome by the love for wealth. There is a member from Tanzania named Ibrahim Sahib who says that when I learned about the blessings of financial contributions, I designated an amount every month for financial sacrifices. Through his blessings, my work continued to increase, and Allah the Almighty continued increasing my wealth. Once, the local missionary encouraged me to make financial contributions, and I had some money which I had reserved for some work that needed to be done. However, when this appeal was made to me, I decided to give that amount as financial contribution. The next day, I made a phone call to the seller who I was going to buy the goods from, and I told him that I no longer had the money, and so I would not be able to take the goods from him, which I had intended to. Upon this, he told me that it was not a problem because someone had already paid half of the amount for the goods I was going to buy, and I could pay the remaining amount later on. He says that I do not know where half that payment was made from or who made that payment, and to this day, I have not been able to understand how it happened. And so there are times when Allah the Almighty renders help in such ways that one does not even realize. There are also those who Allah the Almighty grants jobs as a result of their financial sacrifices. There is a young man who is originally from the Czech Republic who speaks about how Allah the Almighty teaches him the philosophy of financial sacrifice. He says, "I have been granted a new spiritual life through financial sacrifices. I see that my fellow students are gripped by worries while I am very much at ease. Whereas everyone is busy with trying to save money, by the grace of God, I have developed the habit of sacrificing any wealth that comes into my possession in the way of God. My friends say that this is useless, but God is my witness that my life depends upon this." He further says, "I was having difficulty finding a job in my field, but by the grace of Allah the Almighty, through the blessings of financial contributions, that difficulty was removed. I did not have a place to live, but Allah the Almighty arranged for it." He says, "Before, my pockets would always be empty, but now, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, my pockets are always full. I also offer financial contributions, and then Allah the Almighty somehow fills my pockets." The finance secretary from India writes There is a member whose pledge for Waqf-e Jadeed contribution was 24,000. Only a few days remained and he said that he had some of the amount. However, he needed the money for something important. And so I told him that it was the end of the Waqf-e Jadeed year and that he could decide whether he felt it best to offer the amount or do so later. Upon this, he said that he would place his trust in Allah and he offered the money as financial contribution. The very next day, he called me and said that he had received a very large amount of money for his business that had been held up somewhere, which he received all of a sudden. Although it was not the full amount, he received 50,000 and the person who owed the remainder promised that he would pay it very soon. Thus, see how Allah the Almighty said to this person that since he was abandoning the love for wealth for his sake and was trying to fulfill the needs of the Jamaat by abandoning his own personal needs, then he would help him. And this is how Allah the Almighty renders help. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the expenditures of the Jamaat are as the promised Messiah alayhi salam said, that there has never been a prophet who did not make financial appeals for the sake of running the organization of their community. And in this way, in order to run the system of the community, the Ahmadiyya community must also make financial appeals. From all our missions established around the world, it is only Tehreek-e Jadeed and Waqf-e Jadeed that comes to the central headquarters. Everything else is spent locally. However, people living in Africa are not very well off, despite which they are making financial contributions. However, they have many expenses. There are mission houses, mosques which are operational. Currently in Africa, there are 7,953 mosques that have been built, while 306 under construction. Similarly, plans are made every year for dozens of mosques. There are 1,860 mission houses that are operational. Some are rented, while others we own. And there are 400 central missionaries who are working there, and more than 2,000 local missionaries working there. Then there is Qadian, South American countries and islands who are funded by the headquarters as they cannot bear all their expenses. The running expenditures to meet the mission's costs are very high. There are also expenses for distributing literature. Sometimes literature is sent from here, and most of that literature, aside from the larger books, and even still some of the larger books as well, are distributed for free. Of course, smaller literature is free. Some literature is also published there as well. And Allah the Almighty continues to bestow from His grace for us to bear these costs. At times it is incomprehensible how there are such vast programs and so many expenses, whereas the amount collected is not much. If the contributions made towards Tehreek-e Jadeed and Waqf-e Jadeed, which comes to the central headquarters, are combined, it amounts to about 30 to 31 billion pounds. However, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, just the annual grant that is given to 106 countries alone approximately comes out to the same amount. Then there are the jamiats, which cost millions, for which grants are given. Millions are spent for MTA. Then there are the costs for the central headquarters. And Allah the Almighty fulfills these expenses in such ways that cannot be comprehended. Sometimes the thought arises that perhaps the expenses have become too much, wondering how they will be met. However, by His grace, Allah the Almighty continues to fulfill those expenses and never allows for there to be any shortage. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, these missions are operational and are being worked on. And Allah the Almighty told the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that He would grant him wealth. And Allah the Almighty is indeed bestowing that wealth. May Allah the Almighty always enable the Jamaat to utilize this wealth in the right way and spend it in the right way. And may there never be any sort of irregularity in this regard. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "It is not possible for you to love wealth and also love God Almighty. You can only have love for one. Fortunate is the one who loves God. If one of you loves God and spends in His cause, I am certain that their wealth will be blessed more than that of others." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, "The reason for this is that wealth is not acquired by itself. Rather, it is acquired through the will of God. Thus, the one who leaves aside a portion of their wealth for the sake of God will certainly have it returned to them. However, the one who loves wealth and does not render their service in the cause of God as required, they will certainly lose that wealth. Do not believe that wealth is acquired through your own endeavors. In fact, it comes from God the Exalted, and do not believe that you are conferring a favor upon God Almighty and His Chosen One by spending a portion of your wealth or by rendering another form of service. Rather, it is His favor upon you that you are able to serve in this manner. I say truly that if you were all to leave me and do not extend any service or help to me, He will raise another people who will be ready to serve Him. Let it be known that this matter has been decreed from heaven, and whatever services you offer will be to your own benefit. Let it not be the case that you develop arrogance in your heart and assume that you are rendering a financial service or any other form of service. I say to you time and again that God Almighty is not in need of your help even in the slightest. Rather, He has bestowed His grace upon you by granting you an opportunity to serve. Thus, this is the realization and the very thought the Promised Messiah alayhi salam instilled within the Jamaat. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, even after the passage of 135 years, the spirit continues to live on in the hearts of the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, including the youth and the new converts. They continue to offer sacrifices, and as I've narrated in some of the accounts, illustrating how they've understood the essence of this spirit, that Allah the Almighty blesses their wealth, and for His sake they remain ready to make every sacrifice. May Allah the Almighty continue to bless their wealth and their lives. Along with this, I will now present a report regarding the contributions made towards the Waqf-e Jadeed scheme for this year, and this will provide insight into the extent of the sacrifices made by the Jamaat by the grace of Allah the Almighty. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the 67th year of Waqf-e Jadeed concluded on December 31st, and the total financial contribution from the worldwide Ahmadiyya Muslim community amounted to £13,608,000, which is approximately £14 million. And this is an increase of £736,000 compared to last year, alhamdulillah. In terms of sacrifices and the amounts contributed, the United Kingdom ranks first. There is a very strong competition between the UK and Canada. Canada has also significantly increased its contributions, yet it remains behind United Kingdom. Then it is Germany, followed by the United States, India, Australia, a Jamaat in the Middle East, Indonesia, another Jamaat in the Middle East, and then Belgium. In terms of total contributions in Africa, the Jamaat of Ghana stands first, followed by Mauritius, Burkina Faso, and despite the challenging circumstances there, they continue to offer sacrifices. There are still several areas which reports have not been received due to communication difficulties. Following these, we have Tanzania, Liberia, Gambia, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Benin, and Congo Kinshasa. According to the reports received, the number of individuals who have joined the financial system of Waqf-e Jadeed has reached 1,551,000. And despite the challenging circumstances, there has been an increase in the number of contributors compared to last year, including a notable rise among the people of Pakistan. Additionally, there has been an increase in contributions from Nigeria, Cameroon, Sierra Leone, Gambia, and Congo-Brazzaville. Among the 10 larger Jamaats in the United Kingdom in terms of contribution, Farnham ranks first, followed by Worcester Park, Islamabad, Walsall, Aldershot South, Ash, Sheen South, Gillingham, Aldershot North, and Yule. In the top five regions, it is Islamabad first, followed by Bait al-Futuh, Midlands, Fazal Mosque, and then Bait al-Ihsan. The Daftar Atfal within Waqf-e Jadeed has its separate record, and among the top 10 Jamaats in this are Aldershot, which ranks first, followed by Aldershot North, Farnham, Ash, Aldershot South, Borden, Cheam South, Islamabad, Roehampton Vale, Manchester North, and Walsall. Among the regions in Canada, in terms of contributions, it is Vaughan ranks first, followed by Calgary, Peace Village, Vancouver, Toronto West, Brampton East, and then Toronto. As for the top 10 larger Jamaats in Canada, Hamilton ranks first, followed by Edmonton West, Hamilton Mountain, then Milton East, Baitur Rahman, Saskatoon, Durham West, Regina, Montreal West, then Baitul Afiyat, Saskatoon, then it's followed by Winnipeg, Lloydminster, and Newfoundland. In the Daftar Atfal, the top regions are as follows: Vaughan, Toronto West, Vancouver, Peace Village, Calgary, Mississauga, Brampton East, Brampton West, and Toronto. Among the Jamaats within the Daftar Atfal, it is as follows: Durham West ranks first, followed by Hadika Ahmed, Bradford East, Montreal West, Hamilton East, Hamilton, Hamilton Mountain, Innsfield, Milton West, and Windsor. The top five local regions in Germany are: first place is Hamburg, followed by Frankfurt, Wiesbaden, Grossgrau, and Reichstadt. For the top 10 Jamaats, previously were the regions, now it is Jamaats. It's Rodgau, Nida, Rodemark, Florisheim, Neuwied, Koblenz, Weingarten, Pinneberg, Berlin, and Neuss. The top 5 regions for Daftar Atfal in Germany: the first place is Wiesbaden, followed by Hamburg, Hessen Southeast, Westfalen, and Dietzenbach. In the top 10 Jamaats of USA, first place is Maryland, followed by Los Angeles, North Virginia, Silicon Valley, Seattle, Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, South Virginia, and Austin. The top 10 Jamaats for Daftar Atfal are: Seattle is first, followed by Philadelphia, North Virginia, Georgia, Carolina, Chicago, Austin, Dallas, Oshkosh, Detroit, and Maryland. By the grace of Allah, the Pakistan Jamaat has also excelled in offering financial sacrifices. In first place is Lahore, followed by Rabwa in second position, and Karachi is in third position. The positions of the districts with respect to collection from adults are as follows: Islamabad stood first, then Sialkot, Faisalabad, Gujarat, Gujranwala, Sargodha, Umarkot, Multan, Hyderabad, and then Mirpur Khas. The top 10 Jamaats are as follows: Islamabad was first, followed by Township Lahore, Darul Zikr Lahore, Azizabad Karachi, Allama Iqbal Town Lahore, Samanabad Lahore, Baitul Fazl Faisalabad, Multan Town, Delhi Gate Lahore, and Gujranwala Town. The top 3 Jamaats for Atfal are as follows: Lahore is first, Rabwa is second, and Karachi is third. And the district positions of Daftar Atfal is as follows: Islamabad is first, followed by Sialkot, Narowal, Umarkot, Rawalpindi, Gujranwala, Mirpur Khas, Gujarat, Hyderabad, and Sheikhupura. There were also some other majalis as well who made extraordinary efforts in this regard. The top 10 provinces in India are as follows: first place is Kerala, followed by Tamil Nadu, Jammu Kashmir, Karnataka, Telangana, Odisha, Punjab, West Bengal, Maharashtra, and Uttar Pradesh. For the top 10 Jamaats in India, in terms of collections, first place is Coimbatore, Qadian, Hyderabad, Calicut, Manjari, Bangalore, Malayapalayalam, Calcutta, Kerang, and Caroline. The top 10 Jamaat in Australia are Castle Hill, Melbourne Long Warren, Marsden Park, Melbourne Clyde, Logan East, Melbourne Berwick, Penrith, Perth, and then Adelaide West. Among the collection from adults, the Jamaat standings in Australia are as follows: Melbourne Long Warren, Marsden Park, Logan East, Melbourne Berwick, Melbourne Clyde, Penrith, Perth, Adelaide West, and Blacktown. The standings among Atfal are as follows: Melbourne Long Warren, Perth, Plumpton, Adelaide South, Melbourne Clyde, Penrith, Melbourne West, Marsden Park, Brisbane Central, and Melbourne Berwick. May Allah the Almighty abundantly bless the wealth and progeny of all those who made contributions. Also pray that the coming year, 2025, proves to be a year of blessings for the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty protect the Jamaat from every evil. Extremist groups and their accomplices in Pakistan become enraged and violent from time to time, owing to the opposition of the Jamaat, and in some cases with the protection of the government, they perpetrate all forms of cruelties. Even the graveyards are not safe, nor are people's homes. May Allah the Almighty ensure the means of seizing these oppressors swiftly, and may He keep Ahmadis in His protection. They have set their sights on Rabbah as well, so may Allah the Almighty keep it secure. A short while ago, I reminded everyone to focus their attention towards Durood, by invoking salutations on the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and other prayers as well. Ahmadis in Pakistan should particularly recite them as well, as every Ahmadi in the world. Pray also for the Ahmadis in Bangladesh. May Allah the Almighty protect them from the evil of extremists. A new government has also come into power in Syria. May Allah protect Ahmadis from every form of mischief and ensure their safety. Similarly, there are other countries. There are countries in Africa. May Allah the Almighty keep the Ahmadis in His protection. It is the duty of every Ahmadi to pray fervently for this and for their own countries. Pakistanis residing abroad should pray for Pakistan, pray for the world in general, and also for the situation regarding the war. May Allah the Almighty protect every innocent and oppressed person from its detrimental consequences. These people celebrate the new year with great zeal through fireworks and sparklers, but every person only looks to their own happiness. They do not have sympathy for the pain of others. The powerful nations continue to perpetrate acts of cruelty on weaker people and weaker nations. In this new year, may Allah the Almighty destroy all the schemes of these powerful nations, and may we see the oneness of God established throughout the world. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.